Well, it is a tremendous privilege to be with you this morning, and I thank God for what He is doing in my life and for the privilege of being His instrument, and really that's what we want to talk about this morning. I'd just like to take a moment, I'd like to pray before we begin to look at the Word, and I have a burden on my heart this morning. I just wanted to share with you briefly and pray about that, and then we'll move on, because this is heavy on my heart right now. My daughter and son-in-law, my daughter Christy, and her husband Emilio are living and ministering in Mexico. They've been married 10 years, no children. We've been praying for years that God would grant that they would have children. And God answered that prayer, and Christy is pregnant with twins. So they're excited, but they're freaked out. And Christy is 31 weeks pregnant, and the doctor put her on bed rest this week, and the babies are trying to come, and it's a little bit early. So my wife has been messaging with Christy on Facebook, and so we're concerned for her and for the health of these little ones. There's a little boy and a little girl. And so would you just join me as we pray this morning? I'd like to pray for Christy and for these little ones, that God would hold off their birth, and the Lord would give us peace as her parents. Father, we do thank you that you are a God who is sovereign and active in this world, and we thank you for the blessing of answered prayer in the case of these two little ones. And we do pray, Lord, that you would give Christy physical health and strength in these days. I pray that you would cause the birth of these babies to be postponed until they'd be more developed. And I pray for great peace for Christy and Emilio as they're in contact with their doctor and being given medication to slow down the labor and the contractions. And Father, we just thank you that we can trust in you in all of the circumstances of life. Pray for peace for me, for my wife, and that as in all things, we would trust in you. And pray for the message that you want to communicate with us this morning, that it would be clear, that your Spirit would have freedom to teach us as you desire. And we pray this because of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for your prayers with me. Great to be with you today. I'm always blessed and encouraged by meeting fellow members of the body of Christ. What a wonderful privilege it is to be the saints, the members of the body of Christ, and one day we will all be together and we will have an eternity to meet and get to know each other. How wonderful will that be? Well, meanwhile, we're here in a world that's pretty crazy, and a lot of strange things are going on. Let me mention just a few words and just to kind of get us to think about our strange world. ISIS, Syria, refugees, Islamic terrorism, North Korea, nuclear proliferation. And notice I said nuclear, not nuclear. George Bush fans will understand that. Illegal immigration, Black Lives Matter, and last but not least, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Do we live in a crazy world? Are we questioning what in the world is God doing? I get so frustrated, I don't watch the news. I just pray. When I watch the news, maybe it's good because it makes me pray more, but I'd rather turn it off. But God is at work in this world, and what I'd like us to do today is kind of take a step back, and I'm not going to have us look at one passage of Scripture. I'd like to get a broad view of Scripture this morning. I'd like us to step back and be able to see what God is doing, because there are times in my own heart I ask myself, what in the world is God doing? And so I'd like us to walk through the whole Bible this morning in a half hour, okay? Can that be done? It better be done, because I've been warned about the trap door. Yes. So let's look at what God is doing in the world, and hopefully we will be encouraged, and we will have our perspective changed as we recognize what God is doing and how we fit in. What is God doing, and why does God have me here? What is my purpose? What is God's purpose? So let's look at that this morning. What I'd like to do this morning is have us look at the whole Bible. Now, we're going to do an overview of the whole Bible, but the Bible is one book. How many books are there in the Bible? Old Testament? New Testament? Does that add up to 66? Old Testament, 39. New Testament, 27. One book with one comprehensive theme, even though there are the many different books of Scripture. And really, that comprehensive theme is that God is reaching out to a lost world to bring people to Christ. And then when he brings people to Christ, he wants to use those people as his messengers to take that message of salvation to others. So God is reaching out to a lost world. He wants all peoples to have the opportunity to know and worship him. And that's what God is doing. And the whole Bible is about that. And so I'd like us to walk very quickly through all of Scripture this morning. The Bible is one book with one comprehensive theme. And like any book, it has an introduction, it tells a story, and it has a conclusion. The introduction to Scripture is Genesis chapters 1 through 11. And then the story of Scripture is in two acts or two parts. The Old Testament part, where God is working primarily through Israel, and then the New Testament part, where God is working primarily through the church. And then, of course, there's the conclusion, the book of Revelation. So the whole Bible, we can view it that way. Introduction, story, and conclusion. All right? So let's see if we make it through this morning. Let's start by looking at that introduction to Scripture, and I'll have the texts here because it would be an awful lot to be paging through or scrolling through all these texts this morning. But if you'd like, let's start at this one and look with me at this passage in Genesis 11 and 12, and then we'll just pick out a couple that I'd like you to look at with me. Genesis chapter 11. We see the conclusion to the introduction of Scripture. The introduction of Scripture in Genesis 1 through 11, it's like this big picture. God is introducing, he's setting the stage for all the rest of the history of the Bible, and in fact, all the rest of human history. Genesis 1 through 11 covers at least 2,000 years, which is more than all the rest of Scripture. And so there's a lot going on in Genesis 1 through 11, just the first, the first creation, the first sin, the first judgment on sin, all those other firsts that we have there. So then we look at Genesis 12 through Jude, and then the conclusion, Revelation. So let's look at Genesis 1 through 11. Genesis 11, we see a major transition to this introduction of Scripture. And Genesis 11:1 says this: "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech." What does that tell you about the world? I need a little help this morning. What does that tell you about the world? Small. What else? Unity. Was there diversity? Not so much. How many languages were there? How many peoples were there? One, there were a lot of them, but there were one culture, one linguistic and cultural group. Something happened in Genesis chapter 11 which changed that. What was it? Tower of Babel. Look at verses 8 and 9 here in Genesis chapter 11. "So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth." The people up until Genesis 11 were all gathered in one place, unified, one language, one culture. If God wanted to speak to people up until that point, how many languages did he have to use? Did he need translators? No. One language, one people. But now they're scattered over the whole earth. They stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. It was only one language to that point. "And from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth." So what we see here is a major transition, and here the introduction to Scripture comes to a close as God scatters people. And theologians tell us that out of this Tower of Babel story, there are probably 70 different linguistic and cultural groups that are formed and spread over the face of the whole earth. Now, God will need to communicate with human beings in a different way. It's not a problem for God, but it means there's a transition necessary. Up until this point, he could speak to people with one language. They were one cultural group. They're in one place. Now they're spread across the whole world, different languages, different cultural groups. So what does God do? He could have chosen any methodology he wanted. He could have had the gospel message written in clouds in each language so that only each group could see that. He could have sent an angel speaking in the language of each people group to each of those groups across the face of the earth. He didn't do that. What did he do? Genesis chapter 11 ends with the people spread over the whole earth. Genesis chapter 12, we see the introduction of Abram, the Abrahamic covenant. God chooses one person and his family to be his representatives through whom salvation will come and through whom salvation will be proclaimed to the earth. So the curtain goes down on the introduction to Scripture, and the curtain goes up on the story of Scripture. Act 1, Israel, Old Testament. And here now God is going to choose one man through whom he will communicate his message to all those different nations. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." What land is that? Palestine, Canaan. And here's that great Abrahamic covenant. "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." How many peoples on earth will be blessed through Abraham? Why did God choose to bless Abraham? It's God's choice. But he chose one family to be his representatives in the world through whom the Messiah would come. And through that one family, he wanted to bless all the different peoples on the earth. And that last phrase, when it says all the peoples on earth, it makes me think back to what just happened in Genesis chapter 11, where we've seen that one cultural group divided into many different cultural and linguistic groups, which are scattered across the earth. And so, this tremendous transition, God will now use one people to proclaim his message around the world. And really what I see here are two aspects of the Abrahamic covenant. It's what some have called the top line of the Abrahamic covenant and the bottom line of the Abrahamic covenant. The top line of the Abrahamic covenant is God says to Abram, "I will bless you and I will bless your descendants." But what is the reason for doing that? There's a bottom line. Some of you are businessmen, and the question you're always asking yourself is, what is the bottom line? What for? And why was God going to bless Abram and his family? He was going to do that so that through Abraham could come blessing upon all nations. And we know that ultimately that happened through the promise of the Messiah, Jesus, who came to give his life to purchase salvation for all peoples. But also there was a sense in which God wanted to use Israel as a light to the nations. In the Old Testament, God wanted to demonstrate his glory through Israel. And so Israel was blessed to be a blessing. And that is a common theme throughout all of Scripture. As God is seeking to glorify his name among all peoples, bring all peoples to salvation, he uses Israel in the Old Testament to be a blessing. So top line is be blessed. We all like that, right? We like to receive the blessings. Sometimes we're not so much on board with the be a blessing part. We like to collect the blessings. One of my sons is a Star Wars collector. Any of you Star Wars collectors? We like to collect stuff, and we like to collect God's blessings. But sometimes we're not real quick to recognize why God is blessing us. He's blessing us with salvation so we can take that message of salvation to others. We are blessed to be a blessing. And here in Genesis 12, we really see kind of like an Old Testament Great Commission. What is the Great Commission? Jesus gave it in the New Testament to go and make disciples of all nations. But here we see it in the Old Testament in a little bit different form. It's the Old Testament Great Commission, where God is saying to Abram, "I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing, your descendants can be a blessing, the message of salvation can go to all people. This is the, here again we see the unifying theme of Scripture, God's desire to be known and worshiped by all peoples. God's heart to bless all nations, all those peoples that were scattered after the Tower of Babel. And here Israel is blessed in order to be a blessing. Israel is on mission with God. God's mission is to reach all people with his message of salvation. And in the Old Testament, he wants to use Israel as his instrument to take that message to all peoples. So top line, bottom line. And what I'd like to do is kind of trace that top line and bottom line of the Abrahamic covenant, demonstrating God's purpose in what he's doing in the world. I'd like to trace that through the Old Testament and the New Testament, obviously very briefly, or we will be here until Tuesday. So I just want to choose a few passages of Scripture, but I would encourage you, if you're interested in this, to use your concordance and look up the words nations, peoples, in the Old Testament. And you'll discover that it occurs more than 200 times, demonstrating God's desire to be known and worshiped by all peoples. God in the Old Testament was not just working in and through Israel. He was working in and through Israel in order to reach all peoples with his message of salvation. So Psalm 67, verses 1 and 2. Help me with this. Verse 1 expresses the bless me part. How do we know that? What does verse 1 say? May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. Does that sound a little selfish? The wonderful thing is Scripture says that we should ask for God's blessing, particularly to receive the blessing of salvation. So it's not wrong to be blessed by God with all of his good gifts, particularly the blessing of salvation. May God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face shine upon us. That's the top line, bless me part. But why is God doing the top line, bless me part for Israel? Verse 2. So that, there's the purpose, why does God bless Israel? So that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. God's desire is to use Israel to proclaim his message of salvation to all nations. And that theme is traced throughout all the Old Testament. Let's see if we can get this to move here. There we go. Here's another example. 1 Chronicles 16:8. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. God's desire to be known and worshipped among all nations. Another example. 1 Chronicles 16:23 through 25. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Proclaim his glory where? Among the nations. His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. God's desire in the Old Testament was not just to be known and worshipped by Israel. He wanted to use Israel to declare his glory among the nations. One more example from the Old Testament. Malachi 1:1, my name will be great where? Among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me because my name will be great where? Among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. So very quickly, the Old Testament flavor is God wants to be known and worshipped by all nations, and he wants to use an instrument, Israel. He will bless Israel with salvation, and he wants to use Israel to be a light to the nations, to declare his glory among the nations. Let's look at Act 2, the New Testament. And I just want to pick one passage from the New Testament, one of those great commission passages from Luke chapter 24, to demonstrate the same thing. In the New Testament, the Great Commission, Jesus died, rose again, was with his disciples for 40 days, and then he was about to ascend into heaven, but he said, I want to leave you my marching orders. God sent me on his mission. The Father sent me on his mission. I've fulfilled it, and now I'm handing it off to you. And so Jesus is sending his disciples and us on his mission, which is God's mission, which is to see to it that the gospel gets to all peoples of the world so that Jesus and God can be known and worshiped by all peoples. So Jesus gives his great commission, and really he builds his great commission on the Old Testament, where we saw that Abrahamic covenant, top line and bottom line. We're blessed to be a blessing. Luke 24, 44 through 48, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." When he says law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms, to what is he referring? The Old Testament. So what he's going to say is, what I'm talking about here is what the Old Testament says. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Is this Romans? Hebrews is hard to understand. They needed that. Was he talking about Romans, Hebrews? Yeah, what scriptures did they have at this point? The Old Testament. So he is opening their minds to understand the Old Testament. Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, the Old Testament, law of Moses, prophets, Psalms. He told them, this is what is written. Where? In the Old Testament. So he's quoting Old Testament themes. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. That's one thing taught in the Old Testament. What's the other thing taught in the Old Testament? Repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name, the Messiah's name, where? To all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, which is where they were. And he says, by the way, disciples, you're witnesses of these things. You've seen it. You've seen my ministry. You need to take that message. And so here, Jesus is opening their minds to really understand the purpose of their existence. He explains his ministry. He had to suffer. He had to die and rise again. But now he's handing off his message, his mission to them. And the mission, even in the Old Testament, was that repentance for forgiveness of sins needed to be proclaimed to all the nations. So Jesus here is proving his great commission from the Old Testament. His salvation will be proclaimed to all nations. In the Old Testament, it was a come model. Israel was drawing people to God as they obeyed. In the New Testament, it's a go model. We are told to take the message out to all nations. So God has blessed us with salvation, and the bottom line is we need to share that message with salvation. We are blessing bearers. That is why God blesses us with salvation, so we can take his message to the world. So this is the theme of the Bible from the start to the finish. We've seen the introduction. We've seen the story. Just very quickly, the conclusion, Revelation 5, we get a glimpse into that heavenly scene and when we will all be there, and this is what the scripture says. They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Does God accomplish his purpose? Yes, he does. He wanted all people to be exposed to the message of salvation. This does not mean that every person will be saved, but it means that his message will be made available everywhere. And in heaven, we will have that tremendous diversity of all different tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations. So this is what the scripture is about from start to finish. God glorifies himself by saving people, by blessing people with salvation, and then he wants to use them to be instruments of blessing to others. What's the problem? I don't know about you, but my problem is I like to just receive the blessings and enjoy them, be comfortable with them. It's fun to come and worship and learn and grow and fellowship together. It can be a little bit challenging on Monday and Tuesday at work or in the home or at school to take that blessing of salvation and share it with others. That's where it's challenging, isn't it? But I think we all struggle with that, and God wants us all to be involved in sharing his message. If he has blessed us with salvation, it is so that we will take that message of salvation to others. That's how you came to Christ. Someone shared with you, and someone shared with that person, and the chain goes all the way back to the disciples. So this is what the Bible is about from start to finish. He glorifies himself by saving people, by using them in his mission, and then by receiving eternal praise from the redeemed. Now, let's do a little test. I want to use some examples of our top line application of Scripture, where we just focus on the bless me part. Complete this Bible verse. Yeah, but complete the verse. Yeah, but complete the verse. Be still and know that I am God. Here's the rest of the verse. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. That is the whole verse, really. I'm not making this up. What is the part that we focus on? You know, when I'm using this verse this morning with my daughter's situation, okay? Depending on the Lord, depending on his peace. That's the bless me part. It's in Scripture. It's wonderful. Thank you, Lord. But then what we tend to kind of focus on that, and we tend to forget about the other part. Why does God bless me? It's so that he can use me to be an instrument of blessing to the nations. I can take his message of salvation to others. If he's blessing me, if he's working in my life, it's because he wants to use me to share that message with others. Someone has said we have kind of a yearbook approach to Scripture. What do you do when you get your yearbook? What did you do when you got your yearbook? Honestly. What was the first thing you did? Looked for yourself. That's what I did. We tend to do that with Scripture. We tend to look for ourselves. We look at those passages that are meaningful to us. John 3:16, for God so loved me. Praise God. He saved me. We tend to focus on the blessing part, what's in it for us, which is good. It's there. What verses do we memorize? We memorize basically the top line verses that are meaningful to us. And sometimes we tend to not focus on the bottom line. Why is God working in my life? It's because he wants to use me as his instrument in this world to take his message to others. Let me give you quickly an example of that, a couple of examples of that. Daniel in the lion's den. You've been taught this for years. What is the typical application of the story of Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel was faithful to God. He knew it was going to cost him. He was faithful to God anyway, so God was faithful to Daniel, and he rescued him from the lions. Amen, right? So the application, be faithful to God, and God will take care of you. Is it true? Is it scriptural? Yes. Is it top line, bless me? Yes. Not bad, but we focus on that. This is what King Darius says when he's getting Daniel out of the den of lions. Or after he gets Daniel out. Then King Darius wrote to whom? All the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth. May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he, look at the theology of this pagan king. For he is the living God, he endures forever, his kingdom will not be destroyed, his dominion will never end, he rescues and he saves, he performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. That's the bottom line application. Why did God do this whole thing with Daniel in the lion's den? Was it about Daniel? Yes. Was it only about Daniel? No. It was because God wanted his name to be known and glorified among the nations through Daniel's faithfulness, through that test and Daniel's faithfulness. Why does God do his work in your life, in my life? So that his name can be proclaimed to those around us who need to know him, and in fact, to the nations. God's at work. He wants to use your story to tell his story to the nations. Top line, yes. Bless us, but why does he bless us? So that he can use us as his instruments of blessing to all nations. So Daniel's a great mission story. One of these days I'm going to use it in a missions conference, and people are going, why is he doing Daniel in the lion's den? This is a missions conference. It's about God's name being known among all nations. Is that missions? Yes. need a cruise here. Daniel and the Queen of Sheba, excuse me, Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. Queen of Sheba came away praising God when she saw Solomon. She didn't come away praising Solomon. Look what she says. Praise be that, look at all the times the Lord your God, the Lord your God. Praise be to the Lord your God who has delighted in you, placed you on his throne as king to rule for the Lord your God because of the love of your Lord, because of the love of your God for Israel and his desire to uphold them forever. He has made you king over them to maintain justice and righteousness. Same idea. We tend to overlook all those scripture passages where God's focus is on reaching the nations, and we tend to just apply it to ourselves. But when God is using us, he wants to do that so that he can use us and use our story to proclaim his glory to the nations. The Bible is a missionary book. God is a missionary God. That's what the Bible is about from start to finish. He wants to spread his message of salvation so that all peoples might know and worship him. And he wants to use your story, what's happening in your life today, so that his story can be shared with others. So, what does this mean in practical terms? We're all on mission with God. And we need to focus more on that. God, what is God doing in the world? He is glorifying himself by having peoples in all the world learn about him and hear the gospel and come to faith. And then the people who come to faith, God wants to use each of them to take his message of salvation to others. We are blessing bearers to the nations. So we need to not just focus on the top line, bless me part. We need to focus on the bottom line. God, how do you want to use me to be a blessing to the nations? Our purpose, fitting in with God's overall mission, his purpose, is to disciple the nations. Each of us is blessed to be a blessing. So some action steps. This week, in what way will I be a blessing bearer in my world? Right where I am, home, family, workplace, friends. How does God want to use me and my story in this week to be a blessing bearer to those who need to know Jesus in my immediate world? And secondly, what will I do in this week to take steps so that I can be a blessing bearer to the nations? You have missionaries you support. Are you communicating with them? Are you helping to encourage them? You may partner or know people in other countries. You may have been on a short-term trip and you know somebody you could encourage or you could help. You may have a connection with a church or a ministry overseas. You could be involved there. You can pray. You can support. You can use the gifts God has given you to help reach people in other countries with the message of salvation. How will you be a blessing bearer to the nations this week? Let's enjoy the blessing of salvation that God has given to us, but let's also allow God to use us every day as his blessing bearers to all nations. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the fact that you have saved us. You've given us the message of salvation. And Lord, you've blessed us with a purpose because you've desired to reach us with your message of salvation so that then you will bring us along in your mission to reach all nations with the message of salvation. Father, challenge us with our own tendency to be selfish and self-focused. Help us to recognize that if you're at work in our life, it is because you want to use our story as part of your story to touch the nations. Forgive us for focusing only on ourselves and the good stuff that you give us. Use us in powerful ways in coming days to declare your glory among the nations, to be your instruments, to take your message of salvation to our immediate world and also to all nations. And we thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.